technically they're not supposed to be.
If you sign to January 29, 1979, House Committee on Judiciary, full committee, room 350, 1:30 p.m., work session on House Bill 2103, 2108, and 2109.
Property by foreign national foreign corporations. This one specifically addresses the question of ownership of shares of stock in domestic corporations and financial institutions and would prevent, make illegal, the holding of more than 5% of the voting stock of such domestic corporations by foreign national and foreign business entities.
I have some comments I'd like to make about this bill, but first I'd like to have Senator Kulongowski come up, and I think he's interested in the possible introduction of this bill.
No, Mr. Chairman, talking to some of my colleagues in the Senate this morning, for the record, my name is Ted Kulongowski. The bill before you,
former member of this committee.
Yeah. Actually, for the record, it was introduced by Bill Rutherford. He doesn't have the courage to do it by himself. That isn't true either.
Yeah.
The issue that, as many of you have known, has come up, that the question of foreign nationals owning Oregon agriculture and forestry land. I don't think, personally, that the bill is actually, the way it is written, may necessarily be the approach you want to use. What I'm more interested in doing is seeing that the issue gets raised this session, and I would hope that it would be raised before the Judiciary Committee instead of an Agriculture Committee, because I think, as you are all well aware of, there are serious legal implications of stock transfers and a variety of other things in it. But it's an issue that I think needs to be addressed, at least looked at this session. And I would hope that the committee would introduce the bill, understanding that it is going to be extremely controversial, and you may, after you read the bill, after it's printed, may find that you don't like the idea. But I think that, as you're well aware of, that the legislature serves two functions. One is to pass laws, and the other is to be a sounding board for future problems or potential problems, and I think that that's exactly what this bill is addressing.
I would just add to those comments that Senator Halleck brought this matter to my attention initially prior to the election, and since that time I've noticed at least one newspaper article in the case of Tennessee, I believe. Governor Bill Clinton of Tennessee was successful in passing such a bill in Tennessee.
Mr. Chairman, he's the governor of Arkansas. In fact, Arkansas, one of the interesting things about this, it isn't new in the sense that no other state has done it. In fact, Arkansas became the seventh state that has just a flat-out prohibition of foreign nationals owning agriculture or forestry lands. And so it's something that they're moving to, it, and I think that Oregon should at least become knowledgeable on the subject.
It would be my intent that we would introduce it, at least for the purposes as outlined by Senator Kulongowski.
Is foreign nationals included California?
Representative Nathan, I think you're probably aware of the privileges and immunity clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Actually, foreign nationals, from where I'm at, always means the people in Portland, but we
But anyway, getting beyond the facetious, the chair would move introduction to the bill as outlined by committee staff. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the second bill is one that you've already discussed a number of times. It is a measure to repair a deletion from the statute which formerly allowed a sentencing judge to consider a Class C felony as a Class A misdemeanor in all cases. The law now is that procedure may only operate in drug cases, and this would restore that ability to sentence a judge.
This is one of our errors of last session. If it was the Senate, we failed to catch it whenever it came back into our court. So, without any further ado, I move introduction bills outlined by staff.
Second.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. That takes care of the committee bill effect. Again, if anyone has a committee bill that they'd like the committee to consider for introduction, Dennis will be receiving those, and we will, if time permits, bring them up agenda items from time to time, before or after our meeting, case may be. First item on the agenda today for work session is House Bill 2103. Dennis?
Joe.
Excuse me.
This bill was heard by Subcommittee 2. It's a bill which changes language but doesn't have any substantive effect on the jurisdiction, domestic relations jurisdiction of Marion and Multnomah counties in line 9 and again in line 35. It changes wife to spouse. And this brings the jurisdictional statute of domestic relations into conformity with the substance of domestic relations statutes, which do use the term spouse rather than wife. And there's a question raised as to Section 3, whether it was necessary, and if necessary, whether the language was appropriate. The person in legislative council who drafted it said that Section 3 is unnecessary and that he put it in an excess burst of caution. But since the bill makes no substantive changes, he says it can be deleted.
Chair would move Section 3 of the bill be deleted. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it's ordered. Is there a motion on House Bill 2103 as amended?
I would move it. We reported on the defense recommendation.
Okay. Representative Mason has moved that House Bill 2103 as amended be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation for discussion. Hearing no discussion, clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cohen?
Aye.
Representative Frohmeyer?
Aye.
Lomberg?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Roster?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Gergen?
Aye. It's ordered.
The next bill before us is House Bill 2108, dealing with specific statutory provisions for widowers as well as widows. Joan, that was yours also.
Right. This adds widowers to certain statutes, which now by their terms apply only to widows. The veterans' preference statutes are the main, in number, the main part. It also includes workers' compensation in Section 13, who can sue. All that changes his to be widow. That's on page 7, line 36, and adds widower. In that case, I believe it only clarifies that I believe that widowers currently have the right under workers' compensation. The main question that came up in the hearing with the number of people and the effect on revenue. People who testified indicated that there are now 5,600 female married veterans, so potentially 5,600 widowers to whom the exemption in Section 3 of the bill would apply. The person that was here from the Legislative Revenue Office said that the most right now there would be 100 people and that the revenue impact would be quite small. There was some discussion in the subcommittee about whether the bill should be given to the Revenue Committee for a 10-day period for them to look at it. That's up to you. The legislative revenue person was here, and whether he would change his mind if the bill were in the Revenue Committee or not, I don't know. There was a question raised about page 3, line 6, subsection E, whether that was necessary since dower and curtsy has been abolished in Oregon. The person who drafted the bill can't tell me what allowances to widows, heirs, and next of kin is or are, and I can't find anything in the statute about it. It's possible that by deleting it, some substantive rights would be affected. That would not be the case with dower and curtsy since they have been abolished.
Joan, my question on that was whether or not, even though Oregon has abolished them, we might affect rights to dower and courtesy in those two people who are living in Oregon who may be able to claim such a right arising out of the laws of another jurisdiction, which has not abolished dower and courtesy.
I think that if the partnership property were in another jurisdiction, the laws of that jurisdiction would govern regardless of what Oregon does. So that...
Well, okay, so that comes down to whether or not we have simple surplusage here or whether we have something that would be harmful to retain. Or put it another way, I don't want to make a motion to delete Section E without knowing precisely what I'm doing, even though it does not appear to be necessary for Oregon.
Well, the person who drafted it, Mark Flick Council, said it would be okay to abolish the dower and courtesy part, but he didn't know about allowances to widows since he doesn't know what they are. And he said he hadn't had time to go to the archive. He said it would be necessary to research the legislative history of this when it was first brought into the statute. And he hasn't had time to go to archives to find out.
Well, widow's allowance used to be a traditional provision of probate. Pending the permanent closing of the estate, widow's allowance is a statutory allowance of money. There's nothing obscure about that. Representative Mason.
Yes, several of the committee of bills that I've had introduced are covering up errors the last session made, so I'm a little leery of proceeding ahead and doing the same thing that I am now having to make up through the introduction of bills. So I would like to find out what exactly we are doing. I think if we leave it in, the surplus may create a problem. If we take it out, we may be affecting someone's rights. It might be a time bomb there. Who knows?
I don't know whether it's the will of the committee to act on this today, and since we got on full committee work session or not, it would be possible, I think, with one telephone call to Professor Scholes at the University of Oregon Law School to find out what it is that this deals with. Gene's a nationally recognized expert in this area, and he would be able quickly to tell us what I think is involved. Representative Gardner.
I would suggest that you make that phone call, and I just spoken to the speaker about how we should basically handle this bill. These other concerns that I have about as far as the potential fiscal impact. And I think that we can resolve this one point, that the committee can take action on it today and move along the process to final passage or final resolution in case of the
Well, we can do it this way, Chairman. If there are no other substantive problems that members have with the bill, we could pass it out and make it subject to recall at the next meeting or pull it back from the floor if that's what it came to.
Well, if you'd be willing to make the telephone call, we can...
I don't think I won't be able to catch him this afternoon.
Okay.
That's
where are we at this point?
You have the gavel. We have no motion before us, other than the bill before us. Jones explains.
Are there any motions regarding the bill?
The ability of Representative Fumler to make that phone call and verify that there is no problem regarding subsection in page 3, I would ask if we can set it aside to the next discussion agenda.
Representative Richards, let me clarify my concern. I don't think we're creating any problem by adding widowers. My concern was whether or not we need anything in Section E based upon changes that have occurred in Oregon law, probably since the adoption of this section in its original form. I don't think we do affirmative harm. The question is whether we ought to have anything in here that creates any implications for the right of dower or courtesy.
I'm not an expert in this particular field of law, but with what you're saying, Representative Fumler, perhaps the best way to handle it would be to handle it this way. To move the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation
with the recommendation that the bill be referred to the Revenue Committee. And then, while that process is going forward, I would move under propositions and motions once the committee report is filed to adopt the committee report. And if that occurs, then the bill would be going to Revenue in any case before it would come back to the floor. And we can basically deal with your concern in Section E, and if in fact that is a legitimate area that we need to propose some language, we can bring that before the Revenue Committee, and I'm sure that they would be willing to deal with it.
Mr. Chairman, while everybody else has been buying time talking about this, I had an opportunity to read it.
It's always wise to do.
No, and I overheard Representative Mason saying this too. Of course, this comes under the partnership provisions of the code. And the only applicability I could see of subparagraph E would be if you have a partnership in which you have an out-of-state partner, which is very possible. If you had a partner in your partnership from out-of-state in which there's a state that does recognize dower, courtesy, or provide certain allowances to widows, widowers, and what have you, then I think subparagraph E would be applicable. Because
that's what I was asking.
So I think you might have an impact and be doing something you don't want to do if you do remove E. I think the safe thing would, under that analysis, would be to leave E in.
Okay.
Point of information.
Representative Richard.
Is the mechanism under the House rules that the primary substantive committee maintain jurisdiction of the bill and then execute the review, 10-day review, to another committee, or that we report it out and be passed first and then execute the review by additional committee?
Okay, we have the option, as I understand the rules. There is basically, this committee feels that another committee should make the final decision regarding the bill and have a vote on it, that the proper mechanism would be to pass it out with our recommendation, with the recommendation which would be adopted in the committee report, to send it to another committee for final decision. Or we can retain the final decision in this committee and just have the other committee look at it. My feeling is that there, at least at some point in the future with this bill, there are going to be some rather significant revenue impacts. And I would feel more comfortable in having the Revenue Committee make that final determination and thus doing it in the former manner rather than the latter that I outlined to you. The chair would move that House Bill 2108 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation, with the recommendation that the bill be referred to the Revenue Committee. Is there discussion? Representative Russell.
That means we will not see the bill again.
That is correct.
And that is what the chair intends?
That's what the chair intends. Is there discussion on the motion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cohen?
No.
Miller?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Richards?
No.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Gardner?
Aye. Passes. Next bill on the agenda is House Bill 2109. Jones?
This was also heard by Subcommittee 2. It deletes the provision that no female should be arrested in certain civil actions. So it allows females to be arrested in the same circumstances that males can be arrested.
Is there a motion on House Bill 2109?
I'll move it. Send it forward and do pass recommendation.
Representative Richards?
Move House Bill 2109 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Richards moves that House Bill 2109 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? If not,
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fulmer.
Have we gotten to the stage where arrest in a civil action is an appropriate remedy at all?
I believe that there are some occasions, particularly in cases that I have dealt with, where it would be an appropriate action.
case of some debtors. It's an extraordinary remedy. But I've seen it, used in district courts in Washington County.
Who does the arresting, Mr. Chairman?
I believe it's the sheriff.
Is it subject to a citizen's arrest?
I believe it's not subject to a citizen's arrest, although I have not personally used the procedure. But I couldn't answer that.
Representative, there was one part of the bill I just noticed that is an amendment. It's not mentioned in the headnote here. It also deletes as a cause for such action as an action based upon a promise to marry. Line 10. I didn't notice that it did that. I don't think that's perhaps necessarily a subject of discussion.
That hasn't been a cause of action for quite a while, so this is the opportunity to
I'm not sure it's germane to the relating clause.
However, I would like to say that the civil arrest is rare. You're years ahead of me.
I've seen one. Yeah. In District Court of Washington County involving the food collection.
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative Rutherford may be right about the relating to clause. I'm not sure it's covered.
Well, what's the committee's pleasure?
I'll call the question.
Can you do anything you
I'll
want?
I'll call the question.
Okay, questions to call for. Is there further discussion, House Bill 2809? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Cohen?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Lombard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Richard?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Garnett?
Aye. Pass.
I'm tempted to ask to carry that one, but I'm not sure.
That completes our agenda for work sessions. Is there further business to come before the committee at this time? If not, we stand adjourned.
The civil arrest bill?
Yeah, that's the promise to marry the bond. No, that's not it. That's deleted. That was the American idea. I'd be more nervous.